So anyway, we're talking all about short-term rentals today. Carmela has one in Prince George's County, and we've just been looking up the site. And now she's saying that she'd like to have a handyman close by. We're talking about, you know, when you need some help. And so that's where the conversation is picking up. So go ahead, Carmela.
Jade and I, when we were there probably 2 years ago, when we started doing a lot of the work, we ran into, of course, you know, the water damage because our sump pump went out. We didn't realize it. But we were in their Home Depot. And because of the bigger cities, because I don't see it in Lima really at all, they have workers, a lot of Hispanics and different guys. They're sitting on trucks looking for jobs. So they're like in the parking lot, at the ends of the parking lot. Guy came up to me. I was on the phone. So he hands Jade his business card. She's like, "Mom, what the heck? You know, we're not out anything. Free estimate. Let's give him a call." And I'm like, "You handle it." She called him and walked with him because I'm dealing with everything else, and said, "I want this done, this done, this done." I was astonished on how really good she was. And he quoted her a price, and she thought, "Man, this is like really cheap. You know, does he realize, you know?" So she was like, "Do you understand what we want you to do?" And another good thing is I have a friend that lives in Upper Sandusky. She teaches Spanish. Well, she taught Spanish. She's retired now, but she speaks fluently. And sometimes she still teaches people English and everything. So he's more, his English was not so well. And I only know a few things because I haven't taken it in years, but I called her and had her on speaker. So she was able to communicate in Spanish back and forth. And she goes, "This is what he wants. This is what he's doing." And it worked out great. The last time he did some work for me, I mean, he did well. He has his team and a nice Christian guy, because he was like, "Here's my, what is that? Immigration, well, whatever that says.
Blue card."
Yeah, he's allowed to be in the States. He said, "I carry that in my Bible. I have it in my truck at all times." So I was really impressed. So, you know, we kind of like the last time he kind of did some things and didn't do it quite well. But I called him, you know, and I says, "This is what I needed. You needed to do this. Yet you didn't do this. And someone half did this." But he came back and corrected it. But that was good. So I may call him again, because he had someone there, you know, that did painting, a little bit of construction and stuff. I mean, I had a guy here in Lima who did go to Maryland and put in my kitchen floor tiles and everything, and did some work, which was nice. But I'm disappointed, because the problem is his wife, because sometimes I think she gets really money hungry. And not that I'm not going to pay you, but we sat down and I says, "What is this going to cost? We will pay for your travel there." He quoted us how much it would be round trip after I gave him all the particulars. And then that Sunday, they were supposed to leave really early. And I says, "Well, you'll deal with Farley, because I'm going to find, I usually try to find a church to visit." So I drove off and went to visit a church. They waited around until I came back. They kept texting me. And I'm like, "Dude," because, oh, they spent all their money. So they wanted some more money. And of course, this is a Sunday. Farley's like, "Well, I don't have much cash." So they took what cash we had, because, you know, that was on us. But I says, "No, this is what was written down," because I says, "I wrote it down. You agree to this," I says, "because I document everything." And, you know,
wow.
I said I wouldn't use them again, because I used them at our house, you know, to do some things. And Jade's like, his work is not that great. And when I went to redo my kitchen, he wanted to do my kitchen so bad, and I did not hire him. I am so pleased with the guys that I use because they contract out and they do everything. Actually, our kitchen was on one of their commercials. I didn't even realize it. Carla goes, "That's a nice looking kitchen. That looks familiar." And then I go, "Wait, that's our kitchen." But I mean, they did everything they said, and I haven't had any problems. But
here's something you're going to find out with contractors. And if you gals haven't used a lot of contractors, you'll run into this. You'll find somebody and because you'll say, "Here's the project." And usually it's starting to get desperate, you know, because you're like, "I've been looking, I got to get this done. It needs done. It needs done. It needs done." And finally you get matched up with somebody that says, "Well, we can do that." And you're like, "Okay." And they do a great job and you love them and you go, "Oh, I'm putting them on my list." Well, then you come down the road and you have another project and they're either not as timely or they don't do as well, or for some reason, they're just not as good as they ever were that first time. And here's the issue. It's not necessarily their issue or your issue. It's just the way it is. What happens is that sometimes you have to find somebody that has an opening right then. That same crew that worked really well on that first project, they may be in the middle of a big project when your next project comes along. So now you're not as happy because they didn't respond as fast and they didn't show up when they said they would. And you're thinking they did so good the first time. Well, the first time they were in a lull when your project came along and it worked for them. And so sometimes you have to have more than one contractor on your list that does all these things, because somebody that's really good may just not be available for a while. And it makes you feel like they're pushing you to the bottom of their list. And what's happening is that they've just already committed to some other folks. And so now they're trying to make all of this fit together. And it makes you feel like you're a less than customer for them. And so you oftentimes have to have, I know people look at me and shake their heads, but I like to have six deep of, I've got six roofers, I've got six plumbers, I've got six handymen, I've got six deep. So what happens is I'll toss out to my preferred and I'll say, "Hey, any chance?" And then I always have my scope of work. I have a deadline 2 weeks prior to when I actually need it done. So if I need something done by the end of August, I might say my deadline is August 15th. And then I'll go out and say, "Here's my scope. I got to have it by August 15th. And they might go, "Yeah, I can kind of squeeze that in." You know, well, if they start having that kind of conversation, then I tell them, I go, "Well, you know, don't squeeze me in. If you're busy, just say you're busy. I'll just catch you next time." And oftentimes they'll go, "Thank you. Yeah." Cause they don't want to say no, you know, because again, they have to keep their pipeline full to keep their income coming. But then I'll just tell them, I'll go, "No, it's okay. I'll catch you next time." And so sometimes you just have to be able to come down that list of your six. And then if you have someone that you don't work well with, or that you, or you really had a bad experience, I still don't take them clear off the list. I just put them at the bottom, because sometimes you have an emergency and that person that you really don't care for their style or the work that they do, they could go over and turn water off if you've got water coming through the ceiling. They could go over and put a Band-Aid on something for you. So I never burn any bridges. I never say, "Oh, I'm never using you again because of how you treat." I just put them at the bottom of the list in case I have an emergency. I still have them as someone I can call. Does that make sense? Yes. And so what's going to happen is that working long distance like that is always going to be an issue. And so you're going to have to start creating some sort of a list of go-to people. But what you do need is you do need one person that you can count on that has boots on the ground for you there. Someone that you can say, "Hey, I just got a call. This is going on. Can you go check it out?" And they can physically go there and report back to you and say, here's what's happening.
Right.
And because you'll get really weird stuff. You know, we had a girl one time, Mark and I, we had just left and we'd gone up to Put-in Bay with the family, and we're all up there on a golf cart, you know, and I was working 12-hour days, and I finally had a weekend off. And I had five salons, and one of the girls at one of the salons I didn't work in called, and she said, something's wrong with the lock on the door. I can't get the door to unlock. And I said, okay, well, I knew what building she was at. So I said, are you at the front door or are you at the side door? Because there's two doors. I'm thinking just use the other door. So I said, are you at the front door or are you at the side door? And she said, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? She said, I'm really nervous right now because my customer is already here and I can't get in. So I thought, okay, Kathy, instead of trying to teach her which door she's at, I just said, have you tried the other door? I didn't care which door she was at. Have you tried the other door, whichever one you're not at? And she goes, well, the problem is that the key went in and it's now stuck. I can't get it back out. I'm afraid it's going to break off. So she couldn't go to the other door. So I'm like, okay, so what do I do here? And so finally, another stylist showed up. And I said, and she said, oh, you know, Susie's here now. And I said, okay. I said, have Susie try the other door. Well, Susie didn't bring her keys because Susie knew I would be here first. And so she didn't even bring her keys. So I'm like, okay. So finally, I just had to bite the bullet. I just said, okay, ladies, I said, you're going to have to call a locksmith to get you in and just, you know, have them call me and send me the bill. And it cost me, you know, $150 that Mark could have done, you know, at no charge. But we were all the way up in Put-in Bay, up at Lake Erie, and they're down here in Columbus. And so, you know, that's just the cost of doing business. But you really need some, you know, some eyes on the situation, because sometimes when one of your tenants calls you and says, here's the problem, you can't figure out what they're trying to tell you. Because they don't understand what you understand about properties. You know, this girl, the first girl, couldn't even tell me what door she was at. Does that make sense? So you're going to have some boots on the ground there somewhere. So I don't know. Are you trying to find a property management company? Was that the situation?
Yes. Because I figured that might be my best bet as far now, as, you know.
With Airbnb, they have a thing also called co-hosting. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay. Co-hosting, Airbnb has it built right into their platform. You can choose another Airbnb host that is there, that physically lives there.
Okay.
To be your co-host. And anytime someone books, you and your co-host can predetermine the commission split you want to have with your co-host. Let's say you just want your co-host to kind of be on call only if there's an emergency, and that might be worth 10% of your commission to that co-host to just kind of be available. You're going to do all the work on the plan. You're going to check the people in. You're going to send out the notices. You're going to say, here's how you enter. Here's all the stuff. And you've got this team. If something goes wrong, you're going to call the plumber if you need one or whatever. You just need somebody there, and maybe that's worth 10% to you. This co-host might say, hey, my husband is a great maintenance guy. You know, I'll be your boots on the ground. And if you need the plumber, or the key stops working in the door, or the faucet's leaking or whatever, we'll just take care of it. Maybe that's worth 40%. Of your commission. You get 60, she gets 40. But you and this co-host can predetermine what the exact job duties are and the percent of commission split. And then you can set it up right inside the Airbnb platform. And anytime you get a booking, Airbnb automatically splits the commission for you, sends her share, sends you your share. And at the end of the year, the 1099s go out and you don't have that bookkeeping to do.
Mm.
If you choose to go that route. Now, if you want to be on more platforms than Airbnb, and you want to be on a bunch of platforms, you know, let's say you want to be on Airbnb and VRBO and booking.com and Expedia and Travelocity, and to get more bookings, now you're going to have to do that bookkeeping yourself on that split, because those other platforms, they don't have that capability. of doing a co-host split. So you would, but you and she could still enter into a contract making her the co-host, and she might even have a cleaning crew. She might say, I'll handle all of it for you. And maybe she'll turn it around. Maybe she'll say for 60%, I'll do all the work. You get 40% for doing nothing. I'll clean it. I'll make sure it's maintained. I'll send out notices to the guest. I'll go over when their key doesn't work and when their car gets stuck and when, you know, and when the refrigerator stops working, I'll go over and handle all that. And I get 60% and you get the 40. But you'll have to do a little research to see what is an appropriate split, what you're comfortable with. And if it's somebody that co-hosts all the time, they might even have a little package already. They might say, here's, I co-host and here's what, here's how I do it. And here's what you get for my, for the percentage I want. They might already have that figured out.
Okay.
But co-hosting is another way that you can get some property management going on.
That's a good, that sounds even more like as far as cost efficient by co-hosting rather than hiring, you know, a management company. Because I mean, but I don't know.
Well, the management company is going to do the same thing. They're going to say, here's the percent we get of the rent.
Okay.
And here's what we give you for what we're getting in the rents. Here's our services that you get from us. So the property management is going to be very much the same way. The difference is a lot of times with a co-host, you still have some control over the property. And with a management company, a lot of them want you to sign all the control over to them because it's hard for them to manage something when the owner keeps sending their friends to stay. And so a lot of these management companies are like, if we're going to manage for you, then you let us manage it. You have to come through us if you want to give it out to your, you know, to your kids to go stay for a weekend. You have to come through us to block that off.
Okay.
You can't just go in directly and do it. And I get that because there would be some owners that wouldn't pay any attention. They'd say, well, it's my property. I'm going this weekend. I don't care whether there's bookings or not. And so that's why some management companies want you to sign a release that they have full control over dealing with the guest. So it depends on how much hands-on or hands-off you literally want to be at the end of the day.
Okay.
You know, and the more hands off you are, the higher percentage you're going to pay for a company to take over all those duties. But if you want to still have a little bit of hands on and you just want someone to handle maybe the cleaning and the maintenance, and you still want to handle the bookings and the client connections and all that, which you could do long distance, that's not a problem, then co-hosting might be a better avenue for you.
Okay.
Yes, Debbie.
Back when we were talking about CO2 or the things that you put in your house to keep track of
like smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Carbon monoxide testers. My house is all electric. So I have no gas in here at all. And I don't need that carbon monoxide. But I can't even tell you how many smoke detectors. It's basically one in every room in the hallway. And, which is always a good thing. And the one thing to keep in mind when you're doing smoke detectors, I don't know about you, Kathy, but like when our house is built, when one smoke detector goes bad, that's the only one that beeps. But if the main smoke detector, which is like the hub of it, if that, then you have to then go through the whole house and check each smoke detector to see which one is bad. So, and really, I mean, if you have good smoke detectors and you have use the best batteries, not the cheapies, then, you know, you're good. But, you know, when we built the house, that was the one main thing. We focused on the smoke detectors. And the one pleasure that we have is we have a fan, ceiling fan in every room, except the bathrooms. So you know what I mean? It's just, so I don't know if you have propane or if you have natural gas. I don't know what the criteria for that is. I know my daughter, she has propane, but the basements are all finished, if you want. Mm-hmm. There's cement walls, there's cement floors. And so, you know, that should help when you're thinking about those. And we decided a while ago, when we had an incident here, that we bought a camera, security camera, and it's one camera. It's out right over the garage. We don't pay a monthly fee for it. We have it hooked up to our phones and our iPads. And I'm going to tell you, it was the best investment for about $120 to have this security, because it looks down the driveway and then it'll turns and it takes video and stuff. And when I come home at night, and Rick's still up, he's got the camera and he can talk to me through the camera. And it has these two little beady eyeballs, but that's what I call it. So I call it my little CP3O. And we just bought it on Amazon. But my husband, as diligent as he is, researched completely what these are, what and everything. So the camera only costs $99, but then you had to buy an SD card, which costs about $20, and you put that in. And I'm telling you, Carmela, having a security camera like that, that you can see where you are in Lima, in Maryland, awesome. That's going to be a great idea. So funny.
I just got one and I put it on my house, but it's like a doorbell. And it was like, I wanted to try it out. So it's an El Cheapo. And it was so funny. So I put it on the phones and downloaded, was doing all the stuff. So I said, okay, Farley, the phone's going to ring. I says, but I want to see how it works. So I go outside and I ring it. He goes, oh my gosh, I can see your face. What are you doing? And I go, that's the point. But then you could see out my whole drive, everything, which was kind of nice, because the other day I had a friend from church. Apparently I wasn't answering my phone because I was taking a nap, and she kept calling. So then because she lives close, she drove around and kept ringing the doorbell. So come to the door and she's just like, were you asleep? Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, I was trying to be.
I was until you like made it like there's some sort of fire, you know. But I thought about that in Maryland too. I told Farley, says, we need a good one there. So yeah. When I'm here, I can see. I mean, like he could talk to me through the phone. I could say, listen, you know.
Now, There are some issues. Number one, Airbnb requires that you list in your listing how many cameras you have and exactly where they are located. And because the people that are staying there, they need to know that you have them on camera. And number two, a lot of those folks that stay will start covering up your cameras. They don't want to be watched. And so they'll put post-it notes. They'll take post-it notes over your cameras.
I just mainly want one outside. I mean, is that okay?
Yes, you can have one outside, but make sure it's up high enough that the guest cannot get to it without having a ladder. Yeah, put it up where they cannot reach it. I have one outside onto my parking lot because if we're out for dinner, you know, I don't want to sit around here every night waiting for the guest to show up. So I have one out into my parking lot, not down the driveway, it's just out into the parking lot area. And I have one clear up in the corner of my porch which most people don't even see that one, onto the front door. And the reason that I have those two is that way I can see when my guest pulls in, I can be at dinner and I can go, oh, the guests have arrived. Then I can go look at the one at the front door and make sure they got through the front door okay. I really don't care what kind of luggage they have or what they're doing or whatever. That's not, I just don't want them to be stuck out there with a push button front door code and not, you know, some people aren't familiar with those and they have a hard time figuring out, do I push it twice? Do I do it once? And it's raining or snowing or it's below zero and they're out there after driving for 12 hours trying to get in the door. How frustrating is that? So that way I can just say, okay, it just makes me feel better to say they're here. They got in. Yeah. We're good. Now I can enjoy my dinner.
Yes.
But anyway, I do have mine in the driveway high enough where they can't reach it. And the one on the front porch, they, you know, and I have it listed in all my listings. And then I even, the other criteria is that you have to have a sticker on your glass that says the property is being monitored by video camera. And in Ohio, at least, it's required that be posted on your doors.
Oh, really?
It's just a sticker that usually comes in the box with the cameras. It's a sticker, a peel and stick sticker that you stick on the glass.
Huh.
It just says the premises is being monitored. So anyway, I have that.
But you don't have another company monitoring it. It's just you.
No, it's just me like yours. It just goes to my phone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, but just, and for me, it's just so I can make sure that my guests got in okay.
Right, right. And you don't have them in their rooms, so.
No, well, you're not allowed to have them in the rooms, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
No thanks. So, Carmela, I think you've gotten a big sheet of paper from notes today. See?
I love it. Now, another thing with smoke detectors, you've got to be careful putting one in your kitchen because you might have some guests that love to cook and that thing will be going off all the time. So you've got to be very strategic about where you place one around the kitchen because if they're in there cooking and they cause a fire, they're going to know they caused a fire. They don't need an alarm to tell them they've caused a fire. So unless the fire department makes you put one in there when they're telling you where they want those placed, I try to avoid putting one in the kitchen because I always have somebody that smokes up the kitchen fixing their favorite grandma's stew or something. And then the smoke detector goes off. And then, of course, they don't think enough on what they would do to get it to stop. So they're calling you at midnight saying, the smoke detector's going off. What do we do?
Stop cooking.
Yeah. So anyway, so those are just some things, you know, ask me how I know that. So those are just some things you have to be concerned with. But anyway, once you get all of that stuff worked out, it's very lucrative. It's a great business. For you, your biggest hurdle is just finding a good cleaner over there because a cleaner that cleans for short-term rentals is different than a cleaner that cleans houses.
Oh.
Just finding a company that cleans houses is not going to work because their whole objective is to make sure all the surfaces are clean and they're out the door. That doesn't mean the house has been staged. The house just is incredibly clean. It's not staged. You know, they might not even get all the furniture back in the exact spot where it was because they moved it all to vacuum underneath. So you need a cleaning company that also will stage the property when they're done cleaning. And that's where a short-term cleaner is different. Because once they move everything out from the walls and they clean and they open or close drapes and they go through all of that and make sure everything's clean, then they go back through and they stage it. They make it look like it's ready for a photo shoot. And that's what you want the house to look like when your short-term guests walk in the door.
Okay.
Because if the comforter is a little wrinkled up or the curtain's not quite perfect, it makes it look like the place had never been cleaned. See, it makes them feel like, did somebody just check out and they haven't cleaned it for us? So that's why the property has to be cleaned and staged. It has to make it look like a magazine, like it's ready for a magazine shoot.
I never would have thought of that.
And that's, Debbie, you've been at my house and remember how I've got the corners of my comforters all, you know, Debbie's like, did you do that? I'm like, yeah, I did that. Because you want, when the guest walks in the door, you want to make them feel like they're the first ones through the door after it's been cleaned.
Isn't that called the hospital corner?
Yes. Yes. So anyway, you need a cleaning crew that understands that. And, you know, and like sometimes, you know, the cleaners will leave the toilet lids up because they want you to see that they gave the toilet attention. And you might have your countertops all kind of staged and they'll move everything to the other side and leave it. And that's part of a cleaning crew's calling card, that they've been there and that they moved the stuff to clean under it, so that when you walk in, you have to put it back where you like it, but at least you know they picked it up and cleaned under it. So they're trained, a cleaning company is trained to move everything around when they clean and leave it moved so that you know they clean. A short-term rental company will clean it and then put everything back perfectly and make sure the curtains are creased right and the comforters are creased right and the pillows are poofed just right and make it look staged. And that's what you need for a short-term rental cleaning company. And those are harder to find. Okay. Oh. Questions? Did I hit a lot of points today?
Yes, you did.
You don't know how much I feel like, you know, you guys just catered around me today, but this was like the best.
I'm not going to do, this is not a plug, but I have been seeing a lot of Airbnbs. What's the other name? B&Bs?
Just VRBOs and
VRBOs.
Yeah. And they're making a point of telling whoever's watching that if you post that your facility is green, in other words, you don't use any chemicals in the laundry, the cleaning, whatever needs to be done, that that's becoming a plus for these places that are being rented out. And I was really surprised. I mean, I kind of, when I first saw it, I go, wow, really? And, but I've been seeing it more and more. And I've been reading on Facebook that they also are recommending that if you can offer this plus to your listing, then it kind of helps some people that are afraid to go traveling because they have terrible allergies and they're allergic to things, that that this is a plus for having more customers. So not a plug, just a fact.
Debbie, you are correct. You are correct, Debbie.
Yeah. That my girlfriend went to one, was it last year with her? Usually once a year, her mother-in-law, her mom and her husband, said they go off, and the place that they went to, my girlfriend has real severe allergies and some things. They literally had to check out and go to a hotel because, I mean, it was like her face, her eyes were swollen and stuff. It was so bad.
And people think that Clorox and bleach is the best. And, you know, they wash everything in bleach. They do. I mean, and all you can do is when you walk into the room and that's all you smell, it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here.
I felt it. They're cleaning up. They must clean on Fridays upstairs in our office building, because I'm walking down the hall from next door's office. I'm like, I smell bleach. And you know what's funny? Because it reminds me of my grandmother growing up, because between ammonia and bleach, oh my gosh, oh, it's clean if you smell bleach. But I knew she cleaned because she was like on her hands and knees, scrub the floor, everything. But you know, you can clean without using all those things. I mean, like I've learned with my doTERRA, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I use that are chemical free. Now I'm trying to get away from the scent booster things. To the washer, and I need to, because they're expensive after a while. You put a cap full in and it's like, I only did four loads of laundry, yet I'm almost out of this stuff, but it's like, you know, I found out that you're paying at the Walmart and the other stores maybe $8 or more for the container.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the
mm-hmm.
Dollar Tree. It's the same thing, only they're only like oval shaped, or they're not a full circle. They're like a half a circle. So it's the same chemical, the same stuff, but I pay $1.25 for it.
Yeah. And like liquid in the dollar store, they add so much water to it, to the bottle. And I was going to, oh, heck, it went right out of my head. I'll think of it. But, you know, it's, oh, I know what I was going to say. We were talking about the bleach. My daughter's sister-in-law, years since they've been married, they have two kids. It's the old saying, it's not clean unless you can smell bleach. And I'm telling you, every time you turned around, her kids were sick. They were sick. They had whatever. And, but it was like, they'd be sick for a couple of weeks and then they'd get it again. And it was like constant. And that, you know, it's like, it's the bleach that you're scrubbing down the house with.
Wow. Well, all of that is very important. And if you get into those Facebook groups for short-term rentals, Carmela, are you in any of those groups?
I don't think so.
That's probably a good thing to not be.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Oh, they complain. I mean, I oftentimes want to go in, because remember, I've got 20 years in the hospitality industry. I worked at Port Columbus International Airport for 20 years before I got into the salon business. And that's what I did. And I oftentimes on those groups, I want to go, you're in the hospitality business, because, you know, you can tell that the rave right now is, let's all have an Airbnb and we can all make money hands over fist. Well, some of the folks have no business being in the hospitality business, because to them, it's all about their house, and they put all this money into their house, and they put all this decorating into their house, and they really don't want anybody to sleep in the beds. They just want you to pay the money to sleep in the beds. And so as soon as they get a guest, they're like, they didn't empty the trash like I had in my rules. Should I sue them? And we're like, what? They left a dirty coffee cup on the coffee table and it left a ring on the glass. What should I do?
Wash it.
What? So it's some of that kind of stuff. And it just makes you shake your head. So don't take it with a grain of salt. If you decide to look at some of those groups, take it with a grain of salt.
I know. I had a guy send me a letter. We, a couple years ago, Farley and I I tried to make it a family vacation and split it with everybody, where each family only paid $200. Well, like, my brother, oh no, I don't want to pay this. So Farley's like, we'll just pay for everybody, which was steep, but it was like our Christmas gift. So we paid for everybody. And then I said, okay, how about splitting the food? I ended up buying all the food, like, and gifts.
Oh,
and we stayed at this in Hocking Hills. Uh-huh. And it was a farmhouse, but it was kind of up steep of a hill. But it was gorgeous. The guy sent me a letter and an email and said, you were one of my best guests, because he goes, you left everything almost perfect. He goes, did you actually stay here? And I'm like, yeah, but I put everything, you know, back, because it's like my name here and stuff took, but it was the greatest. And now to go back there, it's like, he's like totally up this price, almost double. But I mean, it was really nice, but that's one of the things I take pride in. You know, I'm not going to leave like a big thing. You know, I try to read and
just so you know, your guest will not treat you the same way.
That's true.
Yeah. So you'll just, and again, you have to just roll with it. It's yeah. What it is. It's just what it is. I scrub stains out of, I had a guy, he wanted to borrow the ironing board. Okay. All right. So I take him the ironing board. I take him the iron. Then he says, I put it in the hallway. He said, you can pick it up whenever. And I said, okay, thanks. I go up in the hallway. He put the hot iron down on the carpet. I now have a perfect iron burn in my carpet.
Carpet or on the ironing board?
On the carpet, in the hall, on the floor. He basically burned the carpet.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, and that's the thing. It's almost
like, it didn't occur to him. He didn't do it maliciously.
No, but they just didn't think.
Right.
Yeah.
So, even like at a hotel, my girlfriend would yell at me, but I'm that anal person. And I know everybody's not like me. I just like wherever I go, I've just always taught, and even my daughter, just pick up behind yourself.
Right.
So even at a hotel, you know, I know they're going to come in and clean, but it's like, I have my towels like in a pile here. So it's like, they know these are my dirty towels. I just don't have things swung all over the place. And some people it's like, oh, they're going to clean. It's a mess, you know? And I face the fact that they don't make a lot of money in housekeeping and they have to do it so fast. So, you know, I, at least for me, I'm not going to be that horrible person.
And they rely on the tips that guests should leave.
Exactly.
So I get all of that, but your guest will not always think that way. So you have to be prepared for some of that other stuff. And it's just part of doing business. It's just part of having a short-term rental. And I read one time and oh my gosh, I laughed right out loud. The guy, somebody said, what's your best advice? I want to do short-term rentals. What's your best advice? And this guy wrote, he said, just imagine that every guest is a 500-pound toddler. I laughed out loud. I said, oh my gosh, that is so true. So anyway, as long as you go in with that mindset, you'll be okay. So when you're furnishing, make sure you have good solid furnishings. Make sure you've got everything nailed down that needs to be nailed down. make sure they can't, you know, not overly abundant and knick-knacky kind of stuff, because, you know, again, that stuff gets broken and pushed off the tables and or into somebody's suitcase. You know how it is. So anyway, just go into it with that mindset. But you do need a good STR, short-term rental cleaning crew on that end. That's going to be your biggest hurdle, is getting a good cleaning crew that understands short-term rentals.
Do you collect an inventory?
Yes, you must have an inventory list. And when you're in those groups, what I learned for long distance is a lot of them will have the cleaning crew take a video, it only takes a couple of, like a 3-minute video, but they walk through all the house when they're done cleaning and they show you, this room is done, the bathroom is done, kitchen is done, you know, they're just giving you this video and then they send it to you. And that way you see what the place looks like. Now, the reason that that's important is, number one, you can see that they did stage it. They cleaned it and staged it. You can see that the trash cans have been emptied and that the beds are made and that all the towels are where they're supposed to be and that everything looks great. Then you also now have proof of what that unit looked like before that guest arrived. Mm-hmm. So if you do have a claim, you can say, I have a video that shows. And that way, if they say, well, we want a refund because when we got there, the beds weren't made in this and the sink was full of dirty dishes, you can say, no, it wasn't, because I've got the video date and stamped right before you checked in that there was no dishes in the sink and that the beds were all totally made. Because you'll have scammers out there that will try to stay and they wait until their final day to say, we want a refund because this is how we found the unit. And so you need proof on what the unit looked like before they got there.
Kathy, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever run into where a guest left something behind? Mm-hmm. And what's usually the policy with that?
Well, because I'm a little more hands-on and, you know, not a big hotel. Yeah. I contact them immediately and let them know that I went in to clean the room and I discovered your phone cord, or I discovered some shoes under the bed or whatever, and let them know what I discovered. And then I just say, you know, I'd be happy to send it back to you. And I have their credit card information because they gave me the credit card to book the room. And so what I can do then is I can just go over to the post office, and you know where the actual USPS advertises you can ship almost anything for $8.
There's
it's called an $8 box. And if it fits in the, box, it ships for $8. And so I can, and sometimes I can ship it for less, because like a phone cord, I can put it in maybe a padded envelope or something and send it out to them for $3 or whatever. But anyhow, I just send it to their house.
And this is kind of in your description or stuff like that.
No, I don't advertise that. But that's just what I do as part of my service. If, you know, if somebody leaves something.
And that probably creates a great atmosphere or reliability for them to refer you. Excuse me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
When you have that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I went out west a year ago and I took my own pillowcase.
Okay.
And I forgot it. And when I got home, I remembered it. But when I call the hotel, they have no idea where it is.
Oh, well, because there's thousands of pillowcases in their inventory. So how in the world would they find one pillowcase? Yeah.
Well, and mine was easy because it was light blue. It was colored. But, you know, that's where, you know, each guest really needs to make sure that they go through the room and to make sure they have everything. And I miss that.
Yeah, I know. I get it. My best story was we had these two couples that came, and they were on motorcycles. But one had a truck with the motorcycles on a trailer, and the other one came in on their actual motorcycles. And then we got to meet them, and they told the story. They said, we went on a cruise. We met this other couple. We fell in love with them. They fell in love with us. We hung out together on this cruise the whole time. And we decided that once a year we were going to get together. Well, we're motorcycle riders. They're motorcycle riders, but we met on a cruise. They said, and they're from another country. And so here was our promise to each other, is that we would alternate countries and do a motorcycle trip every year together. They said, and this is the year for the out of the country couple to come to the States. And you are a stop on our tour. We're taking like a 14-day motorcycle tour. And so they've rented motorcycles here because they flew into Port Columbus. They've rented motorcycles. That's why the truck and trailer with the motorcycles on it. And we're going to leave our truck and trailer in your driveway, which we agreed. And they said, and we're going to do this 14-day loop, and we're going to start with you and we're going to end with you so that we can reload the motorcycles on the trailer and take them back to the rental place. And I said, that'll work. So in conversation, they said, our next stop from here is Niagara Falls. Well, from Columbus, Ohio to Niagara Falls is probably a good, 7 hour? But they're doing
eight, they're doing
an actual motorcycle ride. So they want to be on the road riding. Okay. So I get that. And they're going to end up in Niagara Falls. So they leave. We had such a wonderful visit. Then Mark and I chatted for a minute. I finally went up to flip the room, and I pulled the blanket off the bed, and here is a soft-sided drawstring bag, and it looked like art pins in it, like 6 or 7 or 8, you know, big magic marker kind of art pins. And I thought, well, I'll just keep it for, because they're going to end up here at the end of their 14 days. I'll just hang on to it for them. So I pulled one of the art pins out, and it was not in English, and it was in their language. And I realized, I think this is an insulin pin.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking, holy moly. So I go to my computer and I put in the word on the pin, and sure enough, it's an insulin pin. One of the folks from out of the country left their insulin
Oh, wow.
So now I immediately get on the phone. I call the gal, the American gal who booked the rooms. And of course she doesn't answer because they're on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So she doesn't hear her phone ringing. So I left a message and I said, please, 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 you've got to call me as soon as you get this message. I think I have your friend's insulin. Well, they finally stopped for lunch around 1 o'clock. She calls. She goes, oh my God. She goes, I don't think so, but let me check. I can hear him talking. She comes back on the phone. She said, yes, she does not have it. You definitely have her insulin. She's going to need it. We're already 5 hours out from your house. And we've got a booking to get to in Niagara Falls. We already have a reservation. And I said, how quickly does she need it? And she said, well, she said that she could use one of her husband's because he also has insulin and he remembered his. She could use one of his tonight as long as she could have hers by tomorrow. But she would definitely have to have it because if she used his, then they were going to run out in half the trip. And she only brought enough to go through the trip. She couldn't go to a drugstore and get more because they're from out of the country. She couldn't get her pharmacy to ship it over here, in time. So she said, we're going to have it. And I said, okay. So I call the post office here in Canal Winchester. And I said, I have to get this, insulin to a hotel in Niagara Falls by tomorrow morning. And she said, all right, here's how you ship it. Then I called the hotel and I said, I'm sending an insulin. It goes to this room, but they're checking out tomorrow morning. I said, but they're going to come down to the desk and get it as soon as it arrives. And the girl is like, I'll make a note of it. I said, okay. So now my job is done, right? I shipped off the insulin. The hotel knows it's coming. The guest knows it's coming. Everything's done. I'm done. The next morning, I thought, I better follow up on that.
Yeah.
So I called the hotel and I said, can I have your concierge desk? And they give me the concierge desk. And I said, I just want to make sure that such and such a couple got their insulin that I shipped in. And she said, I don't show that any insulin came in. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, let me trace it. So now I've got two phones. I've got a landline and my cell phone. So now I've got her on the cell phone. I call on the landline. I call the Canal Winchester post office. And I said, is there any way we can trace this? Did it actually arrive there? And she said, well, hold on. I hear her. So now I'm on a line to Canal Winchester post office. She now has the phone lying on the desk. I can hear her talking. She's on a second line calling the Niagara Falls post office. And the Niagara Falls post office now is on a line getting hold of the mail carrier. And he said, yes, I took it in and they told me that the guest had already checked out. I said, I know that. I told you they were checking out that morning, but they were going to be waiting for this insulin. And he says, the hotel refused it, said that the guest had already checked out. He said, I still have the package on my truck. So from me to Canal to Niagara Falls to the carrier, they're all saying, stop the truck. So they're saying, Kathy, can you get a hold of the guest? I've got them on my cell phone. And I'm like, okay, we found the insulin. It's on the truck. They said, well, where is it? And they said, okay, the truck is going to pull over, go to the corner of High and Fair, and the truck will be sitting there and he'll hand you the insulin. Then it goes back up the channel. You're going to have four motorcycles cruising up to you. Do not be afraid. They are all going to jump off of their motorcycles and demand the package of insulin. Give it to them.
Oh my gosh.
Holy cow.
And within the hour, everybody was like, woohoo, got the job done. They got their insulin and they were on their way for the rest of their trip.
Now, how many people would have followed up the next morning? Really?
And how does somebody from out of the country, how would they even know how to follow up?
No.
Right.
It's out in our post office system somewhere floating around. They're insulin for the rest of their trip.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? Anyway, mm-hmm. that was my best return story.
Yeah, wow. I'm glad I asked because that's really good.
That's great. Gosh. And it was something major, like an insulin. I mean, like life or death type deal, because you don't know what would have happened to them, but still.
Now they probably could have gone into any ER and gotten an emergency supply.
Yeah,
but again, I felt responsible because I'm the one that let go of it at the Canal Winchester post office.
Yeah.
I'm the one that handed it over to a stranger. And, you know, because in 14 days, they were going to be back at my house again.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's so funny. You're telling the story and I have a visual in my head of these people on a motorcycle. Granted, they don't look like the people in my head, but I mean, they were nice looking, but it's like showing a foreign person. It's kind of funny how your mind just kind of.
And here's this little postal carrier going, what? and we made a big deal out of it. We were like, give them the package. And the guy is like, all right. Like it was a holdup or something. And we wondered what the neighborhood thought. You know, could you imagine the calls coming in? Hey, we think your postal carrier just got held up by four bikers.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, now I have had a couple of returns where I've called up and said, hey, you've left this in the room. And they were like, I was never at your place. And then I'm like, I don't think they were supposed to be here with who they were here with. Ooh. Oh. Oops.
Oopsie doopsie.
My mistake. My mistake. I just, you know, your name was looked similar to a guest that we had. My mistake. I'm so sorry. But it does look like you're going to have to buy a new phone cord.
And at that point, if it's a worse thing, they're good.
You are going to have to buy your wife a new pair of shoes. Yeah. The ones that she left in the room. Oh, it wasn't her. Oh, I'm so sorry. Your name was so close to our guest name. I must have made a mistake. So we do get some of those anyway. So yeah, Carmela, you've got a lot of experiences that are getting ready to come at you here from your short-term rental. It's going to be fun.
Something interesting. It'll be fun.
It is fun. And I've actually purchased now 3 additional properties just from the income from the short-term rental.
Wow.
When do you open?
I opened in October of 16, and I gave away, the first thing I did is I gave away the rooms to authors coming in for Carrie's conference.
I remember.
Just to practice having guests. And so didn't even charge them. And that was October of 16. And then we had between October and December, I threw it on Airbnb and we had, I think, 2 guests in there just to see if we'd like having strangers in the house. And then January of 17 is when I went to the city and went through all of the zoning and the fire marshal and all that. And so officially we've been open since January of 17. So 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, we are 6.5 years in. And so in my 6.5 years, I've purchased 3 additional properties from the proceeds that have come in from the guest house.
Nice. Carmela, when are you going to open yours?
2 short term.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
Yeah, I said my 3 properties is 1 midterm and 2 more short terms.
Mm-hmm. Carmela, when are you opening yours?
Hopefully, you know, I can get everything here together. So I know Farley wants me to push. I was supposed to be there this entire month of July working, but my mom had to have a bone marrow biopsy. Then just Tuesday, she had to have a PET scan. They thought there was cancer in her blood, but there's not. Thank you, God. So I've been a nervous wreck. So I was like, I can't go, but then I cheated because her doctor's appointment to follow up isn't until August 7th. So I needed to know what was going on. So, you know how they have like the online for your results. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to my girlfriend in New York, who's an anesthesiologist. Plus I'm friends with so many doctors and doctors' wives here. I'm like, can you like decipher this and give it to me in like layman's terms? And they did. And they said, your mom is good.
Oh, that has to be such a relief for you.
It was, yeah. You know, a big relief, you know. And then now my brothers were looking, my dad's starting to get forgetful and
different.
And it's very hard. And sometimes, you know, I get so frustrated, you know, because it's like, it's all on me.
You're and the girl.
I'm like, because I'm the girl, which, you know, and I don't mind most things, but it's like little things. I'm like, I told my brother Nathan, I said, you need to go and Caden sometimes help in the yard, do something. Well, I work and stuff. I'm like, dude, be a woman. I'm like, I work a full-time job. I take on everything else. Heck, my pastor's wife yelled at me. She goes, do you volunteer for everything? And I'm like, no, but I just did, like last night I went over, I did 20 t-shirts for their vacation Bible school. I've never done t-shirts. So I did transfers. I learned on Canva how to blow them up. So I made them bigger. So I did them. She went and got the t-shirts. I said, Hobby Lobby has them for $2.99. We don't need anything fancy because otherwise they would be 15 something a piece to order them. Mm-hmm. So I went, I borrowed one of my daughters, adoptive daughters. She had a heat press. Her Cricut's not working. So I took her heat press to the church, learned how to use it, had the seconds, put it on there, turned out perfectly. They're like, can't believe you did this. I'm like, yep, I'm not an expert. But I mean, even with, because I'm decorating. So they're like, you could throw things together and you have, my imagination is one of those things, I can see a vision of it. And then yeah. I just bring it to life. But between
you'll do really well in the short-term rental space because you have to have a vision for that house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll do well.
And that's just my thing, you know, I know. And plus last week I was exhausted because I lifted like 24 bags of mulch and laid it. Because normally I have them drop it in and dump it in the driveway. Farley's like, can you get bags this time and have someone do it? Well, I called a guy. He said $1,700 and it was just for a small area. And I go, no, I'm not doing it. So I went out to Menards, had the guy load me up, and I laid them where I wanted them, split them in a V, dumped them. It was hot, so I ended up doing a lot of it in the evening because it cooled down, and got a lot of it done. And I think God was looking after me because we were supposed to have thunderstorms 2 days, and it didn't thunderstorm at all. So it was nice, so which was good. I haven't had a chance to get in the back yet, but I'm wondering tonight, I'm going to make it a date night for Farley. So we haven't done it. And I have to tell you, Kathy, you and Mark really inspire me because sometimes, you know, life is so short and there's two ladies that I knew that's passed away and they were older, but still I want to take time and enjoy each other. I don't want to have these well, we didn't do this because, you know, we're always, I mean, work's always going to be there no matter what.
Right. Right.
So, and for health wise and everything else, you've got to have some fun in there. So that's what I'm going to do. I told Farley, I said, I might go to Columbus Sunday. Haven't decided yet. Cause I know they're having the Jazz and Rib Fest.
Yeah.
Like the other Sunday, I had a meeting after church. Called my girlfriend. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I think I'm going to drive over to Fort Wayne to go to Mission Barbecue. And she goes, are you still home? I'm like, no, but I got to get gas first, but I'm close to my house. She goes, I'm going to come to your house. I'll ride with you. Fort Wayne was about 45 minutes to an hour drive. We just talked and had downtime and it was nice.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like no pressures or anything. And I'm trying to live life like that, you know, even like doing things with my mom. I took mom out Saturday. It was her 77th birthday. Wow. So they came over with my brother Latance and took them to Indiana because it's a restaurant that, you know, caters to the veterans. They gave back to the veterans. My dad loved it. Mom liked it. Then I took her to, I probably shouldn't have. I took him to Cookie Crumble Cookie.
That's the best.
I didn't get any. Everybody else got a cookie except me. I said, I'm buying four cookies. That's it. And you know, they each got a big cookie. I got her a cake, and then she got her some wings from Wingstop. And we just had a wonderful day. And they're like, this isn't far. And I says, you know, if I don't have time to go to Columbus, because it's an hour and a half for me,
right?
Far. I said, 45 minutes, it's just right up the road to Indiana.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of things to do there. So it was a nice weekend, you know, for the most part.
Good, 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 good.
You got to have those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
because you can't go back and wish.
No. And, you know, and I'm thankful, and I want, because, you know, I almost lost Farley 7 years ago when he had his Widowmaker and his mini strokes. And I don't want to take, you know, it's like, what if, you know, and I could think about what if would have happened, you know, yeah, you would miss a person, but it's like, so at least I want to have these wonderful, oh, we did this, you know, just these little things, you know, going.
Sometimes it's the little things that count.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And makes me think of my sister who with her husband, he had a major stroke on January 8th.
Wow.
And the next day was his birthday, 65.
Oh my.
And my daughter or my sister had to start from scratch, learning everything. She's come a long way from that point. But like I said earlier, he's on hospice now. He's never coming home. And she has had to do a lot, deal with a lot. And because he's in no form or frame of mind to do anything. He sleeps 23 hours a day. So when that happens, it's a learning experience for those that aren't really prepared. You've had a point where you realize, man, I got to learn. I've got to know what's going on from A to Z so that anything should happen again. And I'll tell you, I've learned a lot from her going through all of this, you know, with her, because we talk now at least once a week, if not more. And it's like, I talked to her the other day, and she has said to me, she goes, have you ever really given it any thought to come and visit me? You have to understand, in years past, my sister and I've always had to be very careful on what I say, because if I say the wrong thing, I lose communication with her. And sorry, drama, never mind.
So, yeah, no. So now it puts the pressure on you as how do I maneuver this?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I still find myself having to be very careful on how I talk to her and kind of help her. And because she got very mad at me when I was taking care of my mom. But at that point, she didn't know what it was like. She didn't know what I had to go through.
She does now.
Yes, she does. Because, you know, I went through all the nursing homes and everything with my mom. And now she's had to go through this. And she realizes that, and I know she's not going to ever admit that to me, but she understands now how a person can be that way. And you can't change them back overnight, because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all a learning curve. I get it. Ladies, this has been great. I love it. I've got a 12 o'clock. I've got to get to, so I've got to run. We went over, but this has been great conversation. Yes. Carmela, I'm so excited for your short-term rental. I can't wait to see it. So yeah, we'll have to make a trip out there and see it when you're all ready.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a girls trip and go spend the weekend.
That would be wonderful. Yes. That would be perfect. Yeah, that could be one of our tribe trips. I love it.
Yay!
Yay.
Well, you guys have a great weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yes. You too. And mark your calendars. I love this time that we just get to chat. Again, Connections Over Coffee is all about building relationships. And so this has been wonderful. So, yeah, yep. I've got my little Sweet Fanny Adams Theater Cup today out of Gatlinburg.
Oh, there you go.
Faith, there you go. I love it. I love it. All right, ladies, we'll see everybody next time. And okay. Carmella, if you have any questions, just get in touch with me.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. All right.
Bye,
bye, guys.
Bye.